Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country. Like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Previously on Dungeons and Dragons.
Is City Townville? People know how to make a name?
I think it's City Townsville.
There's no S.
Sorry, sir, what did you say the name of the mayor was?
Oh, the mayor's mom, Neckbreaker.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That is quite the name.
His name is Mom?
His name is Mom Neckbreaker.
City Townsville is a great hub for all things happening in, I mean, basically judging by the number of job posting here in the entire region.
Oh, you guys, I think I found it. My great Grammy keeps getting into fights with her neighbor.
Sick and tired of your lewd garden gnomes just creeping into my garden.
Excuse me, ma'am?
What?
They were just, you know, loving gifts from Grandpa Hot Pants, and then they just start going missing one night.
Okay. Is Grandpa Hot Pants around here?
I bought them off a man who said he was from the Fae.
Okay.
That makes sense.
They're moving towards the well, and they're climbing up, and all of them are falling in, following the pheromones, and you hear, at first you hear, like, shatters down at the bottom.
Wasn't there water in the well?
Is there water in that well?
No.
Just really digging through this duffel bag, looking for, some sort of large plug.
Big plug.
But well, you probably want your reward, don't you?
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, I think we've really earned our reward this time.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. He, him. Also with me today is Tom Laird.
Hey, that's me. He, him. And I'm playing Moot tonight. And he also goes by he, him.
And Amy Moore.
Yes, she, her. And I will be playing Sullivan Slight. He, him.
Also with us today is Carla Maxted.
She, her. I am playing Glim, a Dragonborn Paladin. I said it because you guys didn't.
Oh, well, now we have to go back and include.
I know.
No, we didn't.
Tom was setting the precedent. I thought that was how we rolled here.
Well, you did do it, Tom.
No, Tom didn't.
I just said
I'm playing Moot.
Oh,
yeah, and that's why I didn't do it. I just said I was playing Sullivan Slight. Carla's mixing it up over here.
Way to go, Carla.
Oh.
Way to do the intros right.
There's a wrong way to do the intro.
I hope not.
Every time.
We have a 0% success rate.
That's right. We've been doing this for over 200 episodes, and we haven't done it the same way any time, which is okay. Because you know where we do things always differently, too, is over on Patreon. And we have a lot of fun doing it because we have an entire other podcast where Tom does these intros much better. Than the way I run them. So good.
I don't know. They're smooth.
There are fun facts for Russ's character in the last few episodes that have started cropping up. So those are fun.
I'm trying to make fun fact a thing.
Well, then there was one that was like super sad. So
yeah, well, that was me. I was trying to ruin fun fact.
No, I think Opal's, I think both of Opal's last ones were both sad fun facts. Like they started really positive and then it devolved into
fun fact, Opal has daddy issues.
Yep.
So we're really selling it. So if you want to hear these episodes and these fun facts,
the promo I was hoping for.
Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where if you're a patron, you get an episode dedicated to you.
Like today's patron.
Oh, wrestling the best faces.
like today's patron, Isaiah Yarbrough.
Ooh, thanks, Isaiah.
Really appreciate you being here. I totally had your name picked long before.
It definitely wasn't out of the blue, Carla prompted.
I'm prepared, and we appreciate you being here. So join us today at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, and you too could be like Isaiah and get all those sweet, sweet, sad fun facts. And now, fuck it, let's play. We meet Mooklim and Sully in the waiting room of the Queen of Tether. They were put here by Queen Calichrist's receptionist and told to wait just a moment as they will be seen, and are currently discussing whether to tell Calichrist that Jonathan is not here or ignore it.
So I think that we should probably say that he found some people that he's like really into, and he's ready to forge out on his own adventuring, and that we encouraged him to come, and that we thought it was a good idea, but he was like, no, and then probably say a lot of stuff about like, my family doesn't respect me, my family disrespects my need to be the shadow, you know, things like that.
Sure, sure. What about, also though, what if we just, because they're not in communication with one another, right? Like the rulers, that's the whole reason that we've come out here, is they're not really on speaking terms. So like, we were early with Jonathan, so what if we just pretend like he wasn't with us?
Okay, I feel like we need to split the difference, so I don't want to lie about it.
Okay, yeah.
But, so we could just not bring it up.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Okay. And that's okay, but if she asks...
Yeah, what she asks.
Yeah.
I think, Sully, what you said makes... None of that was untrue.
That's true.
Okay, but who...
He is off having his own adventure with his new friends, and honestly, shouldn't his older siblings be happy that he's expanding his horizons and not just counting on them for everything?
That's true, yeah.
I think so, but like, what do we...
No,
don't say that.
Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah, don't.
As soon as I said it.
What do we... Do we say that he's with a necromancer as his new friends?
No, I don't think.
Okay, well, what do we say? We need to know who these friends are.
Yeah, do we? Oh,
well, I don't know that we do.
He's a grown-ass man.
It's true.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if Calichrist really is like... digging, we can share more details, but honestly, we've seen how they treated poor Jonathan.
I don't think he'll even come up.
I don't think she'll even ask, honestly, because he's not even supposed to be here yet.
Okay, yeah.
But if so, I think, you know, honest when we have to be, and then maybe just silent is also an option, I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I hear there's some strengths in silence.
Yes, exactly.
I haven't experienced it myself, but...
I don't know.
Yeah.
That I haven't seen that, but...
Moot, when you just stand quietly, do you feel like other people give you more respect because of that?
Well, a lot of times they're waiting for what you're going to say. So, yeah, I think so. I think there is something to that.
Hmm. Maybe another time then. Okay, so how long have we been waiting here anyway?
I mean, long enough that this bowl of mixed nuts is gone, I'll tell you that much.
You ate that whole bowl?
Well, I mean, you can't just put a bowl of mixed nuts in front of me and not expect me to eat the whole thing.
Yeah, but have you read all the research on how just unsanitary all those nuts are and just how many different types of poo particles exist in those nuts?
So many ants have been in that bowl.
I have read the research, but you saw that when we got seated in the waiting room, like... She came out with the container and, like, emptied them into the bowl. So I think that it's about as good as it can be.
I know, but you got to think. Everybody's got to save a dime. If you were to only have a handful of those nuts, she'd be putting those right back in that container. So you have no idea how many times it's come and gone.
Okay, yeah, I didn't see her like break the seal on the container or anything, so that's a good point. That's a good point.
Gotta take some probiotics.
The door behind you swings open and in walks the receptionist, who introduce themselves as Sandra. And she has in her hand the canister of mixed nuts and looks into the bowl and says, oh, you finished them. All right. The queen will see you now.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
She ushers you to the door that she just walked through. You walk through it and there's a long hallway that is lined with very ornate stained glass windows all the way down and a single open large processional door down at the end of this red carpet that you're basically walking down.
And what are we seeing in those stained glass? Is it all just totally megalomaniacal Queen Calichrist slaying dragons and
feeding the poor,
purchasing new containers of mixed nuts?
You know what? Yes. Largely that. It starts off more modest, I guess you could say, for stained glass windows of like landscapes and just the surrounding city and territories. But yes, it evolves as you're walking down into different tableaus of a king first, who you could probably, with the knowledge that you have from Finbar, you could presume is the king, Lonan Borwin, evolving into a transition of power. And yes, you see this queen figure being crowned and then slaying dragons and feeding the poor and
suckling another, like a hungry baby,
to her own bosom.
Yeah,
yes, absolutely.
Which is, I mean, I guess nice, but also,
well, it takes a village
to memorialize in stained glass, but
yeah,
to each their own.
Actually, a lot of them are topless.
Yeah, and there's a few guards kind of just loitering probably in that hallway, just really taking in the beauty of those.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Well, you want to remember your queen for what they're known for,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, you do pass a couple of the city guard as you walk by. Just doing their research is what they're doing. You make it down to the end of the hall and through this main door and into, based on what you've seen previously, a rather modest throne room. Like this red carpet still goes all the way up to up a few steps at the other side of this room to a very simple throne. There are seats all along as well, but you don't see the same ornate stained glass that you saw out in this hallway. Just clear paned windows where there are just rather simple drapes. And a door opens at the far end and in walks a woman with red short hair that hangs down over her fresh and charming face. She has dancing blue eyes that quickly jump back and forth between you as she has a seat. And you see that she has a birthmark reaching from her right side of her forehead, running down to the right side of her lips, ending on her right cheekbone. She's a tall, full-figured woman and incredibly well-dressed. Compared to her brother, Finbar, that is. She carries herself as you would imagine a very regal royal does. And she leans forward in her chair as you approach and, with a little smile, says, "Moot, Glim, and Sully, what brings you to our fair city of Darimar?"
Sully goes into a deep bow.
"Oh, please. Please, no, not necessary. Not necessary."
"Oh, well, it's not often that I actually get to do it and want to do it. It is, wow, it is really great to meet you, your magistration."
"It's a pleasure to meet you as well."
Glim also bows, despite being told that it's unnecessary. Seems like the right thing to do.
Moot goes for, like, the hand over the heart and, like, the nod.
"Well, we are here to help to reunite the kingdoms."
"How so?"
"Through the power of communication."
Okay, so Sandra said that you mentioned that you had come from Chondath, so I guess you were sent by Finbar, perhaps?
"Well, I wouldn't say sent by Finbar. It's just we were chatting with Finbar. And what sort of came up is that each of the three kingdoms has a lot of some things and not very much of other things, and that those things are complementary. So it just seems like it would make sense.
Okay.
Plus, you're all siblings.
Yes.
Share the deep bonds of family love.
Of course.
If you
open
could,
that trade, open that trade.
Exactly. Open the trade.
Yeah.
The peasants who
be
you
beneficial for everyone.
For everyone in all three kingdoms.
Now, I love all of this, everything you're saying. What did Finbar exactly say was the rift between us?
You know, he didn't really go into it too deeply, to be perfectly honest with you.
Was it the sword?
I mean, he talked about the sword.
Yeah, but then he did sort of say that, yeah, that was not, that was sort of the official story, but maybe not what actually mattered, because there were some holes in that story that was in the, sent out to the islands, and it didn't quite make sense, but I guess we didn't really just get the, what's your version of events?
It was a contributing factor in driving Finbar and Breton and myself apart. Now, the fact that they're still holding on to it so many years later, without actually going out to try and find it, if that's what they so desire. I mean, as you walked through the city, did you not? You saw that we are a thriving metropolis, so to speak. And you think back to your travels through the streets, and you saw vendors, like full carts of food, full carts of textiles, full spices, weaponry, all that sort of stuff. My brothers both believe that they can only trade with these three territories. We are an ocean bordering province.
So if I can just fill in a bit of the blanks here, what you're saying is that they're dumb.
Yes.
I mean, I don't want to speak ill of your brothers,
of course,
but that
not.
Certainly seems to be the kind of gist you're going for here.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Yeah, I mean, after we had our differences, I guess I should speak, because I felt heated in the moment, because there were times when their drive to find Father's sword was so much that they just kept pushing, and they kept hurting themselves and sending more people out there to try and find this thing, when I just told them that we could just establish our own lands. They could be united or joined in however they are. But they wanted to rule singularly the three under one name, like Father did, and kind of had that notion. Now, I mean, Breton is the only landlocked territory, so trade is a little more difficult. If he were willing to open his borders, we would gladly trade with him and allow him passage. But Finbar sent you here to the least problematic part in this entire story.
I really feel like I wish that we had a talk to you first.
Yeah,
it seems like that we maybe would have got a bit of a better picture. You're clearly looking at the whole picture, where they're very focused on one thing. I did have one quick question.
Please.
For you. We noticed all the stained glass work back there.
Oh, yes.
Do you just have someone on retainer for that, or
Well, it's a tradition that my father started. This was kind of his home base, so to speak. So as you see, it started, and I don't know if you recognized him, but the earlier images are of him establishing the territories and bringing the lands together in however he decided to do it. And then the transition of power, I maintain it only as a memory of him. We do have very skilled tradespeople here, as you can see, who we pay handsomely for their work.
Oh, they did a knockout job. They did a great job.
Well, thank you. I'll be sure to pass along your praise, Sully.
Can I ask, when your father was alive, he did trade with other nations or just within his own? Like, I'm not sure where it fell apart, because it seems like he, you know, you're a port. Goods and people coming from all over the world.
We did establish trade under him. I mean, primarily because we had all of the resources available within our territory. There wasn't a large need. He was more militarily driven. So expansion was part of his rule. We haven't done as much, hardly any at all, really. More defensive borders of my brothers, which fortunately, I mean, we have a sizable military of 5,000 here just to hold them at bay. But we have a port. Finbar even has a port, but is so narrow-minded and has such tunnel vision that he wants what he can't have. And Imut, brought it back to your point that they're just not smart.
Well, that's a little disappointing. I thought we were here to, you know, bring family back together, and it just kind of seems like you should probably just continue doing your thing. And, I don't know.
Yeah, it's... It's hard to talk about the power of diplomacy when you're country's doing very well. And
you seem very diplomatic.
You seem very diplomatic. You seem like you would be willing to work with your brothers. So, yeah, I think, it just would have been better if we had met you first. Finbar sort of gave us a bit of a different impression about relations between the relations.
Yeah, of course. I feel terrible that you've traveled all this way and found that the problem does not lie on this side of the border. What you're doing is noble, and I appreciate absolutely everything. If you wish to continue your quest, your journey to go visit Breton, I would gladly send a military escort to help you past his borders. I would warn that he's not smarter than Finbar. So take what you've met with Finbar and put that into a child.
Oh no.
Not like a physical child, but the mind of a 3-year-old. I believe if I can quote him, and I don't think he'll mind me doing this, but he said, "It's mine, mine, mine. It's all mine. Dad gave it to me. Give it back."
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay.
So, may I, your magistration, have just a moment with my
please
patriots here for a second? You guys, come here.
She leaves the room. Sandra follows her. And says, I'll be back in a moment.
So, you know, she says it's all like noble and stuff, we're doing this and that's great. But I'm remembering the only reason we're actually doing this was quick talking to get out of being killed by Finbar.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Now, we are out of that situation.
Yes, very much so.
Do we want to now go into a child version of Finbar in order to try to complete this? Or are we okay quitting because it's kind of something that I'm really good at? So we could probably just, like, call it here. Like, I don't know. Is this part of saving the world, Glim? Is this part of the big plan?
I gotta say, it doesn't feel like it is, does it?
No. Seems like a squabble.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all.
I thought a noble mission of diplomacy, bringing a family back together, that seemed
reuniting
like...
Reuniting three territories.
Yes, that seemed like important work. But Queen, who seems... dope. And
like really has
really
everything figured
has everything
out.
Sort of figured out, taking care of her people, expanding trade, and then a couple of real dum-dums.
Yeah, the dum-dums is where I'm thinking we're going to run into problems if we continue down this road.
If she's willing, if she's willing to be like, yeah, sure, let's do this thing, but they're both like, no, I want it all and things and also being like this, then it just kind of seems like nothing's going to happen.
How do you reason with someone
dum-dums?
who just screams, yeah. No, I want it the way I want it. How do you fight with that?
I don't know.
You can't. Yeah.
How do we fight with that, Sully? How do we fight with
why,
that?
Why, I don't know. Moot, how do you fight with that? I feel.
Well, just thinking aloud.
Yeah, well, I feel like you're trying to say something, but I can't quite put my finger on it. Okay, so maybe we thank her kindly, and we just kind of, like, leave. Where are we going, Glim?
Well, what will she think of us if we just leave?
Well, I don't know. We don't live here, so we could just be like.
You seem to have things well in hand. Farewell,
good day,
Your
madam.
Majesty. Something mm-hmm. like that?
Yeah.
Because
yeah, okay.
It's the truth also.
But where to next, then?
You hear from down the hall, not from the door of which the queen went in, but quick-paced, heavy, like plate-mailed footsteps. Coming down the hall, and you turn and you look, and you see one of the town guard carrying a scroll, making his way towards the throne room.
Gosh, it looks really uncomfortable to run in that thing.
Oh,
is it hot in there?
It's a little hot. It's a warm day. Is the queen here?
She said she'd be
right
back
in
a minute.
Okay, I will.
Excuse me. I'll just stand back and wait my turn.
Does he turn and look at the stained glass?
No, he takes a few steps back, just kind of in line from you, and says, just kind of starts whistling.
What's your name?
Terry.
Is it short for, like, Terrence?
Yes, it is short for Terrence. Friends call me Terry, though, and you seem like nice people, so we can be friends.
Oh, wow.
All right,
thanks,
Terry.
That
sounds
that's
great.
Nice. Nice. You been a city guard long, or?
Oh, yes, yeah, about 12, 13.
Oh.
Yeah, 13 years.
Oh, you wow. like it?
Do you like it? Is Queen Calicris good to work for?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, she's only been in power for, half of that, I think. Before that, it was, of course, Lonan, King Lonan.
How was it like working for Lonan?
Lonan was fair. He, a little bit more of a heavy hand. In terms of corporal punishment.
Okay.
Calicris, not quite as much. Queen Calicris, not quite as much. Still upholds the law, but in a fair and just way. And we all greatly appreciate her rule.
Wow. Well, that sounds fantastic. Good benefits?
I mean, she takes care of her guard and those, basically everybody in the city who she can. What do you mean by benefits?
Oh, nothing. So, like, do you have just the one suit of armor, or do you have multiple suits? And do you have to clean your own suit?
Yes, well, it's of course, customary to clean your own suit at the end of the night. But yes, I only have the one.
It's quite expensive. I only have the one plate mail.
Oh, did you have to buy your own?
No, it was provided. But
oh, but like if you lose it, you have to replace it. That sort
exactly.
of thing.
Okay. Yeah. It's you know, you have to give it back if you retire or are demoted in any way, shape, or form.
But if you do something really cool, is that when they put it up as like a statue in the hall?
Well, that's if you die in battle, saving the town or part of the territory.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So more of a commemoration than just something really cool. I mean, it is usually tied to something really cool or noble or victorious.
Well, not that victorious, so.
It depends how you look at it.
Fair enough. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do the very best warriors get their suits of armor lifted up and displayed in the rafters of this great throne room?
Yes. Yeah. As you can see, there are a few up there. Yeah. And I mean, those ones are completely retired.
Well, I didn't look at all. I thought those were like airplanes up there.
Yeah. You can't use that style of armor anymore after this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. What's in the note? You came in here pretty.
Oh, it's sorry. It's for the queen.
That's super personal.
So rude.
I mean, it just seemed like maybe it was very important.
Well, it is. You know, there's some.
She just went through that door. Do you want it?
Oh.
She did say she's coming back, but. Yeah.
Moo, I can't believe you asked that. Hey, when you go to the bathroom, is it really hard to get the stuff all off in time?
I can't believe you asked that.
I try not to be like some of the other younger guards and only go when it's an absolute emergency. I try to give myself time and process that and, you know, take my 15 a little bit earlier so that I can have time to disrobe, use the facilities.
Oh, you got to take the whole thing off.
Well, I mean, at least portions thereof, you know. It's more comfortable to sit down.
Is there a hinged flap that just...
Well, no, because if you get stuck up in battle, then it's a pretty clear soft spot.
Mm. Oh, Yeah,
you don't want to take an arrow there.
The door opens, and the queen and Sandra walk back through.
Thank God.
Just in time.
Or is it just a little late?
Well.
The queen walks back in. She sees kind of the urgency in Terry's eyes. It says, just.
He has to pee.
Because he has to pee. This is 15 he had to deliver the letter to.
Damn it.
just a second, Terry. Glim, Sully, what have you decided?
Middle, baby.
I feel like we're in the middle now.
I think that was it. It was beautiful.
It was subtle. I know you were looking for a jump in there.
I was waiting, but you know what? I'm okay with it being a standalone thing.
Yeah, it's just,
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's subtle. Yeah, it's just
that
quiet.
Was good.
I said, stop. A Patreon and listen. We need 100.
This was that you've exactly hit the nail on the head why I didn't want to jump in because it was like,
it's a wrap.
Is it Ice Ice Baby? Is it under pressure? I'm not sure where she's going.
Could be either one.
We would have been okay with either two. So.
Totally.
But then I wouldn't have been able to rap if you had chosen Under Pressure.
I mean,
it's true.
What is the David Bowie combination with Queen, if not rap on rap in and of itself of its time? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, we need 100 patrons to come and join our wonderful family because we have this thing in our minds where it'd be really cool to have 100 patrons when we reach our 100th episode.
And you know what? To help get us to that point and to help maybe give you further incentive on top of all the things that Patreon already does for the show. Like, there's a lot of things that enable us to be able to create better content, more stories, get better equipment, allow us to advertise and get in front of new listeners, new community members, new yous. I forgot where I was going with this, but we want to offer 2 months free membership from now until the end of October. New and upgrading members, you can sign up for an annual membership and save yourself not one, but 2 months of membership.
I mean, that's a great deal.
It's such a good deal.
Such a good deal. Love saving all that money for those annual memberships because you just keep getting the sweet, sweet bonus content all year long.
Well, I have to ask, Russ, are you the type of person that you treat yourself to like 2 free months and you pay the full price for the other 10, or do you pay a discounted price for all 12?
Oh, how does it work in my mind?
How do you, Russ,
treat it as two free months? So I pay the full price.
Yeah, that's what I do too.
Because last 2 months, I'm like, I didn't pay for these. I'm just getting
freebies.
Yep. I mean, I totally understand the other way, but options.
Either one is totally logical and makes sense, but it feels better having just two free months.
No, you get those freebies.
So when you go to patreon.com/dumbdragoncast and you sign up for an annual membership, if you're a new or upgrading member, you will only pay for 10 months for a full year subscription. If you're at our bonus audio tier, that's $5 a month plus times 10.
You can do it.
It'll come to you. Think about it. Just add the zero.
I know you can do this one.
He's going to do it.
Even I can do it.
It's 50.
Oh, I did it.
Hey. I did it. You get a bonus episode every month from Tom.
Yeah.
That Tom runs. Not specifically from Tom.
Yeah.
It's not just Tom.
I release it into the world.
He births that episode.
I hold it in my hands and then I throw it in the air and say, be free, fly.
And then it makes it to my desk.
Most of the time it comes crashing right back down.
It's true. You get Dungeons Downtimes, which happen every Saturday after a regular feed episode. We talk about the episode that happened that week. And
what did we think about the shenanigans Russ made us do? You'll find out there.
All the honest reviews from us.
Sometimes they're good. And then occasionally they're like, what the hell are you doing? Goddamn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amy starts swearing and then Russ goes, downtime.
That's how it goes.
This is the stuff. We release those plus Game Time. We have that tier where we're fortunate enough to play some games with some of our patrons, but then we record that and release that as another episode. And recently, last month, August, Flamikins made an appearance. So things are just wild over on Game Time. And this month we're playing Monster of the Week. Carla and I are over there.
We are?
Yeah, we are.
I mean, we are.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
We are. Yeah. It's going to be great.
So we're mixing it up, trying different things over there too. But check it out. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. We'd love to have you over there. 100 patrons by 100 episodes, which we're on episode 97 right now. So that gives us a few weeks to do it. Plus 2 months free when you sign up for an annual membership.
But wait, there's more.
Done. Oh, wait.
Once we hit 100 patrons, we're going to unlock that cage that's rattling and a Flamikins and Grants' episode is going to come bursting forth into the universe.
Let me free.
But we need your help to do that. Otherwise, we're just chained up forevers.
Yep.
Oh, bother. Oh, shit. I even got his tagline wrong. Oh, boy.
I know. I was like, you can't ignore that.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, Grants is too expensive now. We can't get it.
It's Francis.
Yeah.
It's Francis now.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Hopefully, you enjoyed this little jibber-jabber. And we'll talk to you very soon. Patreon.com/DumbDragoncast. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
To be perfectly honest, your gratefulness, I don't know how much help we can be in after meeting you in this situation.
It seems you have everything. You're doing a great job. Terry agrees.
Oh, yep. Terry had nothing but nice things to say. That's how you know.
Definitely agree.
So
thank you.
I think you guys can, you'll probably just figure it out. Clearly you're a great ruler. So we're probably just going to hit the old dusty trail.
Okay. Well, I mean, you've traveled all this way. Stay the night. We'll put you up for your troubles. I'm sure Finbar would have done the same. She shakes her head.
We all shake our
head,
I think, at the same time.
But yeah, Sandra will take care of you.
That's just too kind.
It was really nice meeting you.
It's a pleasure to meet you. And she directs her attention to Terry, who takes a few steps forward and says, Queen, the night garm has struck again, as you three are heading out.
I've bowed and am backing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Somehow I'm like bowing and backing up.
Yeah.
As you're exiting, he says, it struck again. It's taken out one of the farms on the perimeter, taking the family as well.
Oh, glam.
Oh, that's...
That's terrible, Terry.
I'm extra slowly nodding, bowing, and backing up, just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case.
She sighs deeply. Says, well, we need to send someone out there and try and put an end to this. They've taken out 8 farms already.
Excuse me. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Yes, Glim. Nope, yes, Sully.
Hitting the old dusty trail. Here we go.
Actually, I just have a quick question.
Sure.
What's a night glam?
A night garm.
Yes.
Night garm.
That's what I said. Yeah.
It's a. How would you describe it, Terry? Well, it's a.
Tom is dead. You know when one personality Russ just, has can't think of a description, I just don't know how to throws it to his other personality this, so who's like, I got you, bro.
Fuck you, bro. Just building the world here.
No, I loved it. It's great. What do you think, Sandra?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Doesn't even
Sandra.
Need us here.
Yeah. Oh, well, nope.
The three of you've got this. Yeah.
Find out more how Russ can talk to himself. Patreon.com/JumpDragonCast. Just all day. No. Excuse me. Well, it's a more of a, I don't know if it's a lycanthrope, but it's a more of a wolf humanoid creature.
Oh, like a werewolf?
In a sense, we don't believe that it converts back or is driven by the moon. It has what some reports say, like a jaw that hinges like a snake and can swallow its prey practically whole.
Oh, well, that's horrifying.
Oh,
that
wow.
sounds terrifying.
It is terrifying. It has taken, like, as the queen said, several farms and families, and doesn't appear to be stopping. In fact, it's getting more and more bloodthirsty. Well done, Terry. Well done. Good description. Gold star for you.
Sandra, wouldn't you say that was the best description?
Listen, so it was very rude of us to just intrude on your conversation like that. I'm so sorry. However, we may not be able to properly help you, like, you know, unite the kingdoms or whatever. But, I mean, sometimes we're good at hitting stuff.
Oh. Are you monster hunters? As well as diplomats?
Well, we're actually kind of world savers.
Glenn, tell them.
Well, you see, I've got a destiny. They've asked me to not bring it up so often because it can be a bit much, I've heard. But anyway, I have a destiny to save the world, but they do too. We're all going to save the world together. So we are out learning how to save the world. We thought maybe diplomacy was going to be part of it, but it seems like maybe not this time. But fighting a monster? Okay. Saving some innocent people. Now,
definitely
that's
okay.
World-saving stuff.
We cut to the three of you on the farm.
Montage of getting ready. Strapping knives
to
belts. Terry's
showing you how all of his armor works much more intricately.
Mm-hmm. There was a flap. Just didn't want to talk about it.
And then we cut to the three of you at the most recently attacked farm. With Terry, he escorted you there so that you knew how to make it there. Says, yes, the Haraldson farm here, it was hit just last night and was reported when a merchant came to collect the wool and found this.
Oh, this is gruesome. Moot, avert your eyes.
I already saw it.
Oh.
Don't draw it again, okay? It's real weird when you draw scenes like this afterwards.
Oh, no, I'm going to try to forget I ever saw this.
Probably best.
Is there some blankets or something we can put on top of them? Is somebody going to come and...
The coroner is on his way as well.
Okay, so...
And the livestock facility.
The whole facility?
The whole facility. You know, they work as a family. You know, if one goes out, they all go out.
Isn't that a faculty?
That too.
Is there a map that we could potentially look at
all the farms that were hit and see if there's a pattern or something.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Great idea.
Sully looks to his friends like, huh? Look at this idea I had. This is strategizing, you guys.
This is the idea. We cut to back at the castle in the war room, so to speak, where they have maps of everything. And the three of you and Terry are plotting out the scene.
There's yarn.
Yeah, there's
thumbtacks.
Red yarn and thumbtacks. And you find that between the eight farms, there is a cluster of a tree, a small forest, if you will, between these eight farms. And all of the red lines go either around or through this farm.
Terry, has anyone checked these woods? Because it seems like a good place if you were kind of a scary monster and you...
Yeah.
It seems like a good place to...
It is a central location between all these farms.
We checked the perimeters and found, you know, footprints that have gone off in several different directions from what we could presume was the creature. And because as you can see here from the name, Dems the Scary Woods.
Oh.
Oh, I thought maybe it was, you know, pronounced like scurry or something. Yeah. I didn't know it was actually the word scary.
Yeah, no, it's the scary woods.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, into the woods.
We cut to the entrance of the scary woods. Yeah, well, I went into the scary woods once when I was a kid and heard some strange noises and never been back in since.
What did the strange noises sound like?
I was going to have to remember.
Martha?
Or murder? What were you saying?
Martha?
Was it a word?
It wasn't a word. It was
you were just making sounds.
Yeah. Then there was kind of like a cow. Kind of like a...
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Was there like a anything like that?
You know, now that you mention it, there might have been.
Mm-hmm. And what about like a
Have you heard it too?
Was it perhaps a
No, I don't think there's ghosts in this woods.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know.
Or anyone playing a theremin.
We ain't afraid of no ghosts, but just so we know what we're dealing with.
Yeah, well, it's good. You got to know who to call when you hear a ghost.
Exactly.
That's right.
Are you coming in, or
are you gonna?
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, I'm your escort here. I will escort you into the scary woods.
Do you need to hold my hand?
No. I can
sorry that you have to like relive your childhood trauma here, Terry.
It's all right. It's all right.
If you need to, though, my hand's just dangling here, and you gotta stoop. But
yeah, no, stooping in plate mail is totally easy.
And what are the woods like, Russ?
Yeah, what kind of woods?
At? Is it ferny? Is it a temperate rainforest? Is it what are we dealing with?
Is it lots of like
weeping willows
thin
everywhere?
Trees, but. Hmm. Grown closely together, like birch, all
like a bunch of birch with no leaves,
maybe.
So it's kind of creepy and weird.
Yeah. Oh, all right,
It's kind of a mix of that. So there's like birch trees
and a temperate rainforest.
What an amazing ecosystem here in Tether.
Birch.
I'm surprised they need to trade with anyone with all these different climates going on.
No, it's a mix of birch trees and pine trees.
Hmm.
There is a path that Terry has brought you to that does go in. But as he has said, people generally try to avoid it.
I can't wait for like the one arborist who listens to our podcast to be like, this isn't a thing.
Birch trees and pine trees never grow together. They need different soil acidities.
They had me for 200 episodes and lost me at birch trees and pine trees in a temperate rainforest.
So sorry, one arborist person.
Yeah, just going to put a blanket apology out there to all the arborists.
Thank you for listening. It's a fantasy world. Soils whatever.
Soils whatever.
Soils whatever. That's the world building we do. Yeah.
That's the title.
It's a fantasy world.
The podcast.
Soils, whatever.
Soils, whatever.
What about the ground cover? What are we dealing with? Is it so? It seems
crunchy, dry.
Would you say this is difficult terrain, or
not from what you can see?
Okay, great.
If you go off the path, it is a little thicker. There are bushes and shrubs and fallen branches and that sort of thing. Just the natural undergrowth you would see in a temperate rainforest
filled with pine birch trees.
So lots of like pine needles and
Not exceptionally difficult terrain.
It was nice of the Nightgarm to have a trail, even though this is a little used wood. So do you think that's a trap? Or do you think if we follow this, it's going to just lead to their home?
Maybe it's a lure, right? Like, you know, come on in.
Look at how undifficult this terrain is on this path.
Let's walk it.
The four of you, Terry in tow, head forth into the scary woods. You carry on for 10 or 15 minutes, and you hear a rustling up ahead, just off the path.
Shh. Did you guys hear that?
I heard it.
I didn't hear it. What did it sound like? Terry, was that one of the sounds?
No, it's a new sound.
If I didn't already have my weapon drawn, I am going to draw my the Vorpal sword, just so I'm ready.
Yeah. I grab my staff of Adder.
Moot doesn't do much because it's like he doesn't really have to prepare too much.
Grips his feather a little tighter.
A little bit, yeah.
Terry's carrying, what do we want Terry to be carrying?
Probably a mace.
Sure.
Long sword.
Which is it, a mace
quarter
or a
quarter staff?
He's carrying all three. He's got a mace, a long sword.
He's very strong.
No, his weapon is like the handle is that of that looks like it was forged from a quarter staff with a mace, which is the bally end, like the pokeball one, right? Yeah.
you know, the pokeball one.
Yeah. With like the head of a mace and a blade that wraps around it and extends further out.
Oh, Terry, is that a custom weapon? I haven't really ever seen anything like that.
Terry, it's so badass.
Yeah, Queen Calichrist encourages individuality in our presentation and also in our weaponry.
So, shit, son.
Yeah, this. I mean, I know we're
What's
dealing with.
Name?
I mean, I know I'm dealing with a possible MIDB monster into bushes, but the quarterstaff was my father's, and he preferred the mace as a weapon, and I preferred the longsword. So just incorporated them together. To the monster.
Wait, hold on. What's its name? What's your name?
Oh, its name is...
He has his mouth like he's going to make an F sound, but all I can think about is fart.
Valurian.
That was so worth the wait.
Oh my god.
So
Tom's got nothing.
I just picture now the pommel is covered in this very soft fabric. Yeah. Feels
like
so
I picture
nice.
When George from Seinfeld's wearing the velour tracksuit. Like that's what I'm picturing now for Terry.
Yep. Yep. It's for comfort. It's not great when you start to sweat in the heat of battle.
But hey, it's all about that, you know, expressing
exactly.
yourself thing.
Individuality on the battlefield is very important. And
okay, guys. Fuck.
Sorry, we gotta...
I have something I want to say.
Okay.
Get it together.
Wait for Russ twice. Wait for Amy.
That's right. Sully creeps over to the bushes like, okay, I'm going to take my staff and I'm going to rustle it around in these bushes and then that IMDB is going to come out and you guys will get him.
What's the
ready?
It's the MIDB. IMDB is
ready.
No, it's okay. We're ready. Yep.
I stick my staff of adder in there and mix it about.
And turn yourself into a chicken?
That's yep. A turkey noise.
Oh, I've heard that one before. you stir it up and you see out of the corner of your eye as you're doing that, running into another bush, just like almost like a shadow of a figure. It does, it looks small, and it's on four legs.
And it's on fire.
And it's on fire.
Oh, Jesus.
And it's on four legs, and it just kind of zips and goes into, like, the bush adjacent.
Oh, did anyone...
I didn't really get a good look at it.
But that can't be the... That can't be the Nightgarm.
It seemed real small.
If it had right, babies? Terry?
Yeah, no, I mean, the Nightgarm is large. It's 10 or 12 feet tall. He walks over to the bush and just kind of, like, peeks through. It's just a dog.
Like a wolf? Like a dog?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
You go look, and there's this little gray hound-like dog, probably 40 pounds tops, just kind of looking up at you with big, big wide saucer eyes.
Oh.
Oh, hey, little buddy.
It's kind of frozen still.
Well, I feel so bad shaking my staff at him now.
Did Sully scare you?
Kind of a little whimper.
Oh.
I'm so sorry.
I have a little bit of, like, I don't know, dried pemmican in my pocket that I... Oh, here. Hey, little buddy. You want to...
Roll animal handling.
I did not expect animal handling to be our first roll of the night.
No. Oh, it was a nat 20.
Oh, this dog is now your best friend.
The dog can sniff it as you pull it out of your bag. And as you get closer and kind of part the shrub a little bit more, you can see that you can see its ribs. It shies away as you walk up to it first, but then smells the food and senses your calm. And moves in and takes the food from you.
Oh, good. There you go, buddy. Oh, you're so hungry.
I know this isn't what we're here for, but I... Like, maybe... Like, it's probably not good, like, smart, you know, monster hunting move and something. But maybe the dog can just come with us.
I mean, we can't just leave it here. Look how hungry it is.
Oh, he's so hungry.
Glim, you feel, like, a paw at your bag.
Oh, buddy, you can come with us. We're just monster hunting. You can come.
Well, I mean, he already lives in this forest. He's probably seen it. Hey, buddy, you seen the big scary thing?
It sounds like Terry. Tell him what it sounds like.
Yeah, Terry, hit him with it.
Okay. Well, I don't want to scare the dog because it's ferocious, but it's kind of like from what I've heard, because I haven't actually seen it yet, it's like a guttural sound, kind of like at the back of your throat, like, and then as it swallows its victims, it's like,
the dog whimpers and runs back to the bush.
Terry, that was, I mean, accurate.
No, it was a good job. It was a good
Thank
job.
You. Yeah, I hope that's exactly what it sounds like, because after I retire, I can go into, like, a voice acting business.
You could get some marionettes,
yeah.
Act things out.
Do, like, monster stories.
You can act
stories.
Out our great victory in the woods today. Oh, we just have to
first... Oh, that's a great idea.
We just have to
get
do the
into
victory
the
first.
Woods, yeah. Too, because yes. I can still see... The outside, like we've taken maybe 10 steps.
Yeah, no, we haven't traveled very far. I mean, I felt like it was like 10 minutes. I think is what was said.
Felt
but you know,
like,
that's
felt
yeah, 10
like
steps.
About 10
that's
to
okay.
15 minutes.
Yeah, no, 10 well, steps. Kept... Slow steps. Yeah. You know, you don't want to rush into these things, right? One step every minute. That's good, monster hunters, because then you can really just get the lay of the land as you're walking.
Do you want to put that dog in your bag or something? How do you carry a dog?
I don't have a very big bag.
Not you, Glim.
Oh,
I mean, not right before we fight the monster.
Maybe you can get him to stay here.
But I think we should find the dog. Yeah, when we. We'll try again after. I mean, he's kind of scooted off now, but we'll make sure we get the dog. And Terry, maybe you could take the dog back with you.
Oh.
You mean or he can come on adventures with us.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah,
I don't know.
Way.
What do you guys think?
Oh.
There was nothing in the destiny. Nothing in the destiny said there wasn't a dog.
Oh.
That's true.
Good call. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's brainstorm some names as we're walking along here.
Okay. Scrappy?
Fido.
Ribs McGee.
We cut ahead another 15 minutes.
Marky Mark? No, Barky Bark.
I think that's the winner.
Marky Bark is pretty good. Marky Bark, any of those combinations of Barkies, Markies.
Charles Barkley.
Also good.
Up ahead, it's gotten thicker. The canopy has gotten thicker as you've been walking. And you've been having to like clear cobwebs out of your path as you've been walking. And you come to a bit of you come to a fork in the road. And you hear, as you're standing there, kind of waiting for Terry to tell you which way to go, a low, grumbling, very guttural.
I look at Terry to see if it's him.
Wasn't me.
Shaggy, that's what you should name the dog.
And then you hear a thundering, like, crunch of a footstep, followed by another one. You hear, like, this snort coming from the trees up ahead. And in the dark of these trees, you see two glinting red eyes that tower about 12 feet above the ground. As the footsteps begin to increase pace, trees get knocked over and pushed apart as this hulking, bipedal wolf creature explodes out onto the path before you and lets out this bellowing roar. I'm going to have to remember that one. Dungeons & Dragons Season 2, Episode 95 is starring Amy Moore as Sully, Carla Maxted as Glim, Tom Laird as Moot, and Russ Moore as your Dungeon Master. Editing, production, and sound design is by Russ Moore. This episode featured music from Kevin MacLeod and Epidemic Sound, and sound effects from Epidemic Sound, Boom Library, and Sound Ideas. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Jessica Babiak, Kat Waterflame, Stevie, Jacob Madden, Devin Michaels, Christian Brown, Aaron Stevens, Lou Lahan, and Charlie Warley. Support Dungeons & Dragons and our many other productions and get access to an exclusive podcast and bonus episodes, all while helping us unlock the special Grants' Flamekins episode, Escaping the Abyss, when we reach 100 patrons at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. You can also follow us at facebook.com/dumbdragoncast and on Instagram and Twitter @dumbdragoncast. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. We'll talk again soon. Fuck it. Let's play. We're here.
Good start. Bringing the energy. I like it, Amy.
Making deals with different territories.
What was his name again?
One fucking name I didn't write down, Tom.
I'm trying to guess. Bursalbaugh.
Samsonite.
Lonan Borwin.
Ah, there was a B.
Well, yeah, they're all Borwins.
Your magistration. Just glad the word masturbation didn't.
It was so close.
It was close.
It was right there.
Well, the sword was a contributing factor in driving Finbar, myself, and...
Should have grabbed the other sibling's name. God damn it, son of a bitch. I was just
Fuckface, because she hates them the most.
Breton.
Oh, yeah. Breton. No, he's the worst one.
He's a cracker.
Almost said a G name.
Of course he did.
Jim!
Terry?
Moot, Glim, Sully, what decided, what have you decided? That's how words work.
What decided have you?
That's what I was going for, but then it didn't feel right in my mouth, so I was like, no, abort!
Like all these cutscenes we're having here.
I like it.
Fuck travel. Let's just do it.
Fuck travel. I want to roll some dice.
Every time we have travel, we run into weird characters that take you to some Jason Halfman Zoukas' party.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. My dog's like, what the fuck?
What dogs are you feeding?
You talking to another dog?
He's looking at me like, I am actually. Thank you for asking.
Roll animal handling over here, please.
Yeah. Animal handle your way into some food in my bowl. Thanks.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Hey, friends. The Sprouting is a podcast that I want to tell you about and you should go listen to. It's an eldritch horror of an actual play podcast set in an apocalyptic future where eldritch plants have taken over. Magical bargains twist the fate of reality, and each survivor struggles to trust their own senses as they try to see their goals through to their ends. The show uses the rules from Call of Cthulhu to heighten the drama of the story and leave the fate of the story at the whims of the dice, and they've created a completely homebrew world. A plant apocalypse where the senses can't be trusted, and instead the characters must learn to trust one another. The show is completely scored by beautiful music from their in-house editor, which heightens each dramatic moment throughout the show. I've got a little promo for you here, but go check out The Sprouting. I've listened to it, you need to listen to it, and you should start with the prequel episode when you go over there. Search for The Sprouting anywhere you listen to podcasts.
With your long-forgotten name, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
In the words of the unspeakable language, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
By the spilt blood of the wicked who walk upon this world sprouting the words of false idols, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
On the land of the dead harvest, that which brings the earth itself into your service, Yamel, we call upon you.
We call upon you. We call upon you. We call upon you.
The Sprouting, a Call of Cthulhu actual play podcast by Blighthouse Studio. Find us on your podcatcher of choice.